And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
In vino veritas, in wine there is truth, will have, after today, a whole new meaning. In this hour, we will look at the production methods of wine, from the soil to the rootstock to the grapes to the processing and bottling. What is the process of winemaking? What are the steps and why? Even though we eat organic food, many of us don't really differentiate between organic and non-organic wine. Red, white, rosé, wine as agriculture, today on An Organic Conversation.
I'm really excited about this show. I was driving with my daughter, Cody, who works at a winery. And as we were driving along through the Carneros region of the Sonoma Valley, she was saying, oh, those are Pinot grapes. And she said, these are grown here because, and Pinot Noir means pine and black for those very small clusters. And so I was fascinated by all this knowledge that she's learning. And I've also bottled wine with my brother. And each time I either hear about something that has to do with wine or experience it in a different way, like in the bottling, it always brings up more questions on how is it produced, how does it grow, what are the nuances that I've just never known about wine. So I'm really kind of excited to actually learn some more today.
Yeah, I think it's a real blessing to live here in the Bay Area and be so close to Sonoma County and Napa County, which are known around the country and around the world really for having great wine. And every time I drive through, I'm so stunned by the beauty. And it also brings up questions for me too, though, working in agriculture, about what is the environmental tax on having one crop planted for that many acres across land. And today I'm really looking forward to hearing about what is this unseen side of the wine industry.
Yes, and we have the perfect expert to guide us through that world with us when we come back. But first,
here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Sustainable features at New World Trade Center. Months after the final steel beam was placed on World Trade Center Tower 4, sustainable efforts continue to make way during construction. The new World Trade Center buildings in New York City have LEED gold certification goals and will include an array of sustainable features that plan to minimize the environmental impact of buildings of their size by maximizing energy efficiency, reducing waste, using sustainable materials, and installing eco-friendly features such as rainwater collection systems. The project is expected to be finished by the end of 2013. Dinosaurs inspire new wind turbine design. Siemens, a leader in the energy sector, has recently developed wind turbine blade attachments inspired by dinosaurs, which increase power generation by 1.5% for individual turbines. The new design, which is based on the back and tail plates of the Stegosaurus, can be attached to existing turbine blades to decrease turbulence, increase lift, and reduce noise. Siemens has begun installing the first attachments at the Bison 2 and 3 wind energy centers in North Dakota, where they will boost capacity by more than 3 megawatts. Organic Valley launches third annual Hoosier Farmer Tour. Organic Valley's Generation Organic Hoosier Farmer Tour kicked off in late September, launching the 3-week road trip for the Gen O group of farmers ages 18 to 35, who represents the next generation of sustainable agricultural leaders. Gen O farmers will stop at college campuses, grocery stores, food co-ops, farmers markets, and more to educate and encourage consumers about the importance of their food choices, all in their veggie oil-powered bus, which left from Organic Valley's headquarters in Wisconsin and will continue through the heart of the Midwest. Bolivian Park may be the most diverse place on the planet. The Wildlife Conservation Society, or WCS, declared Madidi National Park in northwest Bolivia to be one of the most biologically diverse places on Earth. The WCS released a report at the World Conservation Congress in South Korea last month, stating that 11% of the world's bird species live in the 7,335-square-mile park and is home to more than 200 mammal species, 300 types of fish, and 12,000 plant species. The WCS and Bolivian government have already made strides to protect the park, preventing multiple environmental threats, such as road construction and logging. And those are your green headlines. Back to you, Helge.
Thank you, Jen. That is Jen Lloyd with that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Thank you again. What a great service every week to keep you, our listeners, updated. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And what are we thinking about the dinosaur news?
Well,
I think that's so fascinating. We just had a show on biomimicry, what was it, 4 weeks ago or so? Janine Benjes, fascinating how observing birds and observing fish can influence our design, among many, many other things. Shark skin, water withstand, like, and now looking at, of course, the Stegosaurus, which has been extinct about 150 million years.
Yeah.
How do they pull
the fact that we're still learning from the natural world millions and millions of years after something is no longer there is, wow.
Yes.
That's really amazing.
That's the Stegosaurus is the one with those leaves on the back, right? Mm-hmm. 150 million years, Jurassic period. Actually was home here in North America, as far as I know. And mind-boggling how somebody says, how can we increase energy efficiency of our wind turbines by looking at something that has not been observed for 150 million years?
I guess I'm going to go out and start looking around and see what I can find out from the natural world.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen one. Anyway, wonderful. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And coming up is our conversation with Katrina Fry of Fry Vineyards, the first certified organic winery in the United States, about the world of organic and non-organic wine production, red, white, rosé, wine as agriculture, here today on An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is red, white, rosé, wine as agriculture. It's fall and it's wine harvest time. I remember trips to the southern part of Germany this time of year with golden rolling hills and brown leaves. From the river's edge all the way up to the ridgeline, a thick canopy of tradition and gnarly looking vine. Hundreds of years old, with clusters of grapes so heavy and plump that I wondered how much juice and life could come out of that kind of dried out stem. In this hour, we will look at the production of wine, from the soil to the vine, to the grapes, to the harvest and aging of wine, to the bottling. What's the process of winemaking? What are the steps? And what are the most significant differences between organic and non-organic wine? In this hour, we will find out, and who would be better to guide us through the world of winemaking than the founder of the oldest organic vineyard in the country, Katrina Fry, owner of Fry Vineyards, who's joining us today from the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. Katrina, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Helge and Sita and Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's pleasure to have
you. So fun to have you. We had a show on wine with you many, many months back, but lots has happened. And your vineyard, Fry Vineyards, is actually in Mendocino, California, north of San Francisco. What are you doing in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia?
Helge, we attended, Jonathan, my husband and I, who I co-founded the winery with, attended the Natural Products Expo East show in Baltimore. And that was a very interesting experience to be there. The many, many people at the show are focused on California and Proposition 37 and expressing how important this is for the entire organic food industry. So they're sending money, which you can do if you live outside of California, to the label GMO campaign. It's California Right to Know. And they're hoping that people in California get out and vote
yes on
37.
Yes, Proposition 37, yes on 37, your right to know, CaliforniaRightToKnow.org will set the tone for the entire country, and it is the talk everywhere right now. Great to hear that even on the East Coast, doing that Natural Product Expo East show, it's really the topic on the floor everywhere. Yes, we had a great show with Stacey Malkin, the media director of the California Right to Know campaign, and please get involved. It's an critical
initiative.
That's great.
And then from Baltimore, we drove south through Virginia and are now here. Interestingly enough, when we talk about wine on the campus of the University of Virginia, we have a close friend who teaches mediation here at the School of Business. And as probably a lot of your listeners know, Thomas Jefferson founded the University of Virginia. Not far away from where I sit is his home, Monticello, and beautiful vineyards that Jefferson planted. Virginia has a very vibrant wine industry, and the grapes are getting ripe here as well as back in California.
And when we talk about mediation, you're talking about between people and not between environments, yes?
That's true, yeah.
That's Katrina Frey of Frey Vineyards in this hour of an organic conversation as we are exploring the world of winemaking.
Yeah, hi, Katrina. You know, you were talking about Virginia, and I have to admit, living in Sonoma County, that Virginia doesn't come to mind when people say wine growing regions for me. And I actually got a little taste of that. I was at a farm to table dinner in Idaho about 2 weeks ago, and they were doing they had a local winemaker there, and they'd brought a Syrah and a dry Viognier, and I was actually feeling a little bit smug when I was sitting there at the table. And I tried these two wines, and they were so good and so amazing. I've just had to just sit there and go, okay, I just need to take off my smug cap and recognize that there's a lot of great wine all around the country. What's that?
Right. But, you know, there is a reason why the North Coast of California is famous for wines, and that's because we do have the true Mediterranean climate there, which essentially means that our last rains are in May. And our first rains, if we are lucky, are not until the end of October. So with that kind of a climate, we have much less pressure with various diseases, with fungus, with insects, than you do in an area like Virginia that does receive summer rains. So it's a lot easier to grow grapes organically in our neck of the woods. Mendocino County is a wonderful climate for growing grapes organically.
Oh, how interesting. Wow. That's really interesting to hear that the climate does make a big difference on the ability to do organic. And, you know, living here where I was saying at the beginning, where we have so much wine culture and wine country, and we also have so much agriculture country, in this radio show, we talk a lot about organic agriculture, but we tend to forget that wine, grapes, are an agricultural product also. So do you think it's important for people to recognize vineyards as comparable to organic farms?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the wine industry overall has done a great job of cultivating images of every bottle of wine being from a small independent producer. But the actual fact is that wine is a commodity, not really all that different from corn and soybeans. If you look at who's making the wine that most Americans are drinking, 3/4 of all of the wine sold in the United States today is made by 5 top 10 companies, Gallo, Diageo, Constellation, Wine Group, and Franzia. And these are giant conglomerations, each of which may produce a couple of hundred of labels. So if you're standing in, you know, maybe a wine store, maybe in a Safeway or something, and you're looking at all these different labels, the reality is that they're being made by just a handful of these giant companies.
Wow.
So when we talk about organic growing versus organic processing, those are really two completely different worlds, right? And I know there are many wine labels that say organically grown grapes, but there's something in the processing that doesn't allow them to call the end product organic wine.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say they're two completely different worlds, but I mean, for us at Fry, we went to all of the care of growing the grapes organically and then bringing that fruit into the cellar. We wanted to continue with that pure process in making a wine that's really an expression of the land. And what that quickly leads you to, the big differentiating point between made with organic wine, which is one category that the National Organic Program has set up.
Yeah, made with organic grapes, yes.
Organic wine is the use of sulfites. And sulfites are what most conventional winemakers add to wine. It's sulfur dioxide to help with preventing the wine from oxidizing and help with microbes. It's a preservative. At the same time, the organic law says really clearly that if you can make a wine or make any product without a preservative, that preservative is non-essential and therefore is not allowed in organic processing. So, for example, a loaf of organic bread is not going to include a chemical preservative. So, in the same way, a bottle of organic wine, which bears the USDA seal, is not going to contain sulfites.
So, all organic wine is sulfite-free?
The term organic wine indicates that you did not use sulfites. Now, there's many companies that you'll look at their label and it will say grapes grown organically or wine made from organically grown grapes. So then if you turn that label over, you see that the wine does contain sulfites.
Mm.
Yeah, but if it's certified organic wine, it can only have naturally occurring sulfites, not man added, yes?
Yes, and even naturally occurring sulfites are a different compound than the sulfites that are synthetic, synthetically produced. So, for example, sulfites to some extent can be naturally occurring sulfites can be a byproduct of the fermentation process, but those compounds are chemically bound, and so therefore they're not going to react in your body. So, for example, an egg, if you take it to a laboratory, it has 6 parts per million naturally occurring sulfites, but people do not get sulfite reactions from an egg. A broccoli might have up to 12 parts per million. So, for example, in the Fry wines, some of our white wines might contain from 1 to 5 parts per million naturally occurring sulfites, but those are not the kind of sulfites that are going to give you the kind of adverse reactions that people who are sensitive to sulfites experience, which typically are headaches or allergies. They can trigger migraines, give you the sniffles.
And Katrina, actually, Katrina, is that because of the concentration or because of that it's synthetic? Is it because that when people add sulfites to their wine, they're adding it at a much higher concentration that would occur naturally, or is it because the fact that they're using synthetic sulfites that may cause those reactions?
When a winemaker adds sulfites to a wine, that compound scurries around the wine and it attaches itself to the different spoilage item molecules in the wine. And then once it attaches itself, it becomes chemically bound. But there are leftover sulfites in there that remain free. And when you then drink a glass of that wine, those leftover sulfites are free to roam around in your body and cause those reactions.
And that's Katrina Fry explaining the difference between certified organic wine and wine made with organically grown grapes. Katrina, we want to dive into the world of organic and non-organic winemaking, from soil management, production to the bottling. We'll take a quick break, but stay tuned. That's Katrina Frey, our guest today in this hour, as we are looking at red wine, rosé, wine as agriculture. Katrina is the founder, co-founder with her husband, Jonathan, of Frey Vineyards, the first all-certified organic winery in the United States. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Te esperei na lua crescer, brincadeira boa, sentei, espirrei na tua, gripei, por ficar ao léu, resfriei.
Earl's Organic Produce is the only 100% organic wholesaler in the San Francisco produce market. We are proud to offer a unique limited edition organic heirloom salsa made with the most flavorful heirloom tomatoes and offered only during the prime time of the heirloom season. Our tomatoes are sourced exclusively from Tutti Frutti Farms in Lompoc, California. Look for it now at local retailers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Follow us on Facebook, Earl's Organic.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's F-R-E-Y-W-I-N-E.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
In Vino Veritas, today's show is about exploring the world, the production of wine, organic and non-organic, with no less but Katrina Frey of Frey Vineyards, founder, co-founder with her husband, Jonathan, of the oldest certified organic winery and vineyard in the United States. Katrina has worked at Frey Vineyards basically in every capacity, from grape picker to bottler to saleswoman. So we are so delighted that she's joining us today, calling in from Virginia. We talked about sulfites. Katrina, you were pointing out certified organic wine does not contain added sulfites. There's other wine that says with organically grown grapes. And Mark, I think you had another question in that regard.
Well, Katrina, I was just wondering, you're able to produce wine, very good wine, without doing sulfites. Why are they used?
Well, they do make a winemaker's job easier because they can prevent oxidation in the wine. But with modern technology, an understanding of wine chemistry, and good healthy grapes, you can absolutely make wine without sulfites. So let's get back to that good healthy grape, and the fact that at the key of everything that we do in the cellar, the key begins with a healthy living soil out in the vineyard, and that's true for organically grown grapes as well as organically grown vegetables and any other fruits. I think it's important for people when they think about organic farming to realize that it's not just what you don't do. You don't spray insecticides, synthetic insecticides. You don't use herbicides in between the rows of the vine. But what you do do is you come up with a soil fertility program that every year you're going to try to improve your soil. And there's always a challenge with a perennial crop. When you have a vine, when you plant a vine, it's going to be in the ground for 30 or 40 or even 50 years. So a traditional farm rotation on an organic farm means that you change crops over the year. So one year you might grow organic corn, the next year you would grow organic beans, and maybe the next year you would grow oats. And that keeps up the soil fertility. So with a vineyard, what you're working with are those strips in between the rows of the vines.
Because you can't really change, because you can't change the varieties that you planted, right?
Right.
You're not ripping them out. Once they go into the soil, you're saying they're there for 50 years. And when a row crop farmer can change their crop six, seven, eight times in 8 years, you are kind of stuck with what you have.
Right, but we do have that nice 8-foot strip in between the rows of the vines.
And that's an organic growing, right? They don't do that in conventional growing, do they?
Well, some conventional farmers do that because, a conventional farmer that recognizes the importance of healthy soil will do this. And, you know, this is what any good farmer around the world does, is that they use cover crops. So what a cover crop is for wine crops, but it's a signature of organic wine growing. So after you harvest the grapes in October, there's a little window between the end of the harvest and when the winter rains begin. So you go in and you plant seeds in the strip between the rows of the vines, and those seeds mainly consist of leguminous plants. And legumes are your beans, your peas, your vetch, your clovers. They have a remarkable capacity to pull nitrogen out of the soil and out of the air and fix it in the soil in their little nodules of their roots. So we go through and plant bell beans, we plant different clovers, we might plant some vetch. We'll also plant some oats, which are not a legume but just bring tilth into the soil, and we'll plant possibly some rye as deep roots. And then the winter rains come, those crops start germinating. They can grow without any additional water, and they'll get to be 2 or 3 feet tall by the time next May comes. And then you incorporate all of that green matter into your soil with a tractor. You disc it in. And that whole process is called green manuring. So it's similar to putting finished compost on your soil, but you're working with living cover crops.
And also what the cover crop does when the rain sets in, it prevents erosion, right? As a farmer, don't you always want to keep your land covered, basically?
That's absolutely true, Helga, so that you don't have the topsoil traveling downstream, losing your topsoil into your streams and rivers.
And don't the vines have to work hard?
It also takes away nutrients.
Yes, washing out, yes.
And do the vines have to work harder for their nutrients then?
No, actually, it makes the nutrients much more available.
It's actually a
party. They're just right there in the top few inches of the soil. And so a healthy living soil actually helps to fire up the plant's immune system. Plants are living beings, and they respond to the environment that they're in. And if they're well supported in the soil with the proper minerals that they need, they can respond favorably to an insect attack. So, for example, the nibbling of insects on an organic grapevine is less problematic than on a vine that's been grown on depleted soil, because the organic grapevine has compounds within it that are that can fire up and repel insect activity. And actually, those same compounds end up being helpful for the people who consume them. So, for example, probably a lot of the people listening have heard about the compound resveratrol, which is a powerful antioxidant that's found in grape skins. And the levels of resveratrol production in wine grapes are actually stimulated by insect activity on the plants. So it gets them going, but it keeps the resveratrol actually repels the insects. So, you know, it's a give and take. It's okay to have insects in your vineyard as long as they don't overwhelm the natural processes that are going on. And we can actually benefit from those strong compounds that fight off the insects.
That's so fascinating, the world of interconnectedness. That's Katrina Fry of Fry Vineyards, co-founder with her husband Jonathan of Fry Vineyards, the oldest certified organic winery in the United States. Katrina, stay with us. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Bless you, Mark. And we will come back. That was a great insight on the growing. We want to look at organic processing versus non-organic processing. But first, here's our very own Mark Mulcahy with the world of produce and the produce tip of the week. And what's in season, Mark? What's in season?
What's in season are those little brown, fuzzy, oblong fruits that you see in the store every day today. And on the line with us is, of course, is Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco Produce Market.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Earl.
Hey,
how
Earl.
You doing?
Hello,
Earl, what's going on with kiwis?
Well, we're starting to see the local ones come on here pretty soon. They're getting harvested now. And you say, well, what do you mean? I see them all the time. Well, that's because it's a year-round project now because there's California harvest in October. They store them. We use them. They end around May. And then, bingo, we start getting them from New Zealand. So it's really an all-year-round piece of fruit, and it's gotten to be incredibly popular in the last 10 or 20 years. And one of the reasons is it is just a dynamite package of nutrition, which I'm going to let you talk about more. But kiwis are grown. California is one of the most perfect parts. The San Joaquin, again, which is fertile to so many families of fruits and vegetables, perfect place with the warm days and cool nights. And the kiwis are growing on a vine. So if you're traveling down Route 5 or 99 through the valley, you're going to look over, and it's also home, that valley, to vineyards of grapes. But you could easily be thinking you're seeing grapes, but you're really seeing kiwi vines.
Yeah, and actually a lot of times you'll see them trellised just like a grapevine, huh?
Precisely, absolutely. And that's how they're grown. And like many of the products around here, it is totally hand done. So it's pruned, it's harvested. And after they're harvested, they do an interesting thing. They prune again, but they don't prune it back quite as tight as like a grape vineyard. They leave the trellis long. So what they then do is tie the longer trellis down, because in the winter you get a lot of crazy weather, lots of high winds. So if you don't tie them down, they're going to break off.
Right. So what kind of season are we looking at?
We're looking at a great season. The weather's been perfect. The harvest is going on right now. We're going to see the fresh stuff hitting any day now, and some early guys have already produced. We're going to see steady size. So we're talking about a little bit smaller than a tennis ball and real good pricing. So you'll see some great promotions right around the holidays.
So one of the things, Earl, so that's great. It's going to be a great kiwi season, so we can have our listeners go out there and get a lot of them this year. But I've been seeing kiwi berries. What's the gig on kiwi berries?
Yeah, well, you know, I've only been seeing them for about the last 3 years, and it's not the same as a kiwi. And they're grown, the two places I found that they're grown is in Oregon and in Pennsylvania for whatever reason. And they're small little, I guess you call them hairless, and some people call them hardy kiwi or Arctic kiwi or baby kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to see them packaged in a little clamshell, and they're, again, high in nutrition, and they're very sweet.
Yeah, and you can just pop them in your mouth, and
little
they're great.
Kiwi bombs.
They're little kiwi bomb. And
exactly.
So, Earl, is there a particular variety when people are looking for kiwis, or are they all the same?
Well, there may be different varieties, but we certainly don't know them from any of them. So, in other words, a kiwi is a kiwi is a kiwi.
Okay, great. Well, that's great. Thanks, Earl. We appreciate you being on today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Earl.
All right,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye
so
now.
Just to finish up Earl's great report on kiwis, if when you're buying them and you're trying to find out what's a good one, is you want to hold it between your thumb and your forefinger and just apply just gentle pressure, and then that'll tell you if they're ripe and if they have the sweetest taste. And you want them ripe, because they just did a study in Austria, and they found out that the riper the kiwi, the higher the antioxidant content you're going to get from that kiwi. And so when you get them home, you can keep them on your counter, but keep them out of the sunlight. Keep them in a room temperature place, and they'll ripen up just fine. If you really want to get them really fast, you can take that old trick and put them in a paper bag with a banana or an apple. And then once they're ripe, they will store in your fridge for, about a week, but you don't want to freeze them, because they'll just get plain mushy, and they just won't really be that positive an experience. And that's what's in season.
Fascinating kiwis. And they do look like big clusters of grapes. If you've ever seen them, it's phenomenal.
Oh, 50
kiwis on one bush. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Mark.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palmar.
And our topic today is wine production, from the soil to the grape to the processing to the final product. And with us in this hour is Katrina Frey, the founder and owner of Frey Vineyards, the first certified organic winery in the United States, making all organic, sulfite-free wine, and wonderfully so. Katrina, we talked before the break about the organic growing. As the major difference, soil always in organic agriculture being really the focal point, soil health provides a grape that will behave differently in the processing. Can you pick it up from there and walk us through the world of wine processing, harvest? Why is it important to have the most healthy grape possible?
Yes. Our philosophy of making wine at Frey Vineyards, and this goes along with, we're also a biodynamic farm with the biodynamic wine standard, is to use as the minimal amount of manipulation. So we like to think that we are gently guiding the wine as it comes into the winery. So the first thing you do is crush the grapes. And at that point, you have a decision about whether to add yeast or not to your wine. Now, a conventional winery will always add yeast. An organic and biodynamic winery has a few choices. Now, thanks to my brother-in-law Paul Frey's repeated requests from a yeast manufacturer, we now have certified organic yeast on the market.
Oh, that's amazing.
So the National Organic Program is now requiring wineries to use organic yeast. And what differentiates a yeast from being organic and non-organic is the substrate that the manufacturer grows the yeast upon, because it usually involves something that's sweet. So organic yeast is grown upon an organically grown sugar. Conventional yeast, sadly nowadays, is often grown upon genetically engineered beet sugar substrate. So it's wonderful that now organic yeast is available and really important to the wine industry. The other option that a winemaker has is to add no yeast at all. But when a healthy grape comes in, it has a bloom that you can see. It's sort of a dusting almost on the
fruit.
You can see it on a plum or a peach. And that is just the wild yeast that is everywhere around us on this planet. And wine grapes can come in with enough healthy wild yeast to just begin their fermentation.
Aerial microbes.
So that's
yes.
Yes, right. So that's a wonderful distinction between organic and biodynamic wines and conventional wines.
Katrine,
the other thing that you quickly find out if you are working with grapes that come from a dead soil is that there are nutrient deficiencies in the grapes because they're grown in depleted soils that are a result of chemical agriculture. And what happens is there's not enough nutrients in the grapes to even sustain a fermentation. So then conventional wine makers add what we call yeast nutrients, which are sort of a vitamin mix cocktail. These are not natural products. And that vitamin mix cocktail compensates for the nutrient deficient grapes and allows the fermentation to continue. So there are many, many products along the way that if a fermentation is not going well with a grape that a conventional winery is free to use, there are color enhancers, there are aroma enhancers, the yeast nutrients. And sadly, if you think about it, there are no ingredient panels on alcoholic beverages, which really speaks to the power of the alcoholic beverage lobby industry, because alcohol is the only thing that we put either in our bodies or on our bodies that does not bear an ingredient panel.
Yes, and so, that brings up the topic of the unseen world in winemaking that we want to touch on after the break coming up, the world of blood meal in the growing, gas in the bottles. We'll have you explain that world to us and to our listeners in just a minute. That's Katrina Frey. Thank you again for joining us today, Katrina. Katrina Frey is the Director of Sales and Marketing and also the founder and owner of Frey Vineyards, the first certified organic winery in the United States, joining us today in this hour as we are diving into and looking at the truth in winemaking, organic versus non-organic wine production. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
It's fall and it's wine harvest time, and we are spending the hour looking at organic versus non-organic wine production with our wonderful guest, Katrina Frey of Frey Vineyards, before we dive back into that interview and hear about the unseen world of wine production from blood meal to gas in the bottles in non-organic production. Here's our very own Sitarani Palomar, Chef Sita, with her holistic bite.
Thank you, Helga. Well, many people, myself included, are fascinated by the French paradox, which is the ability to eat rich food, drink wine every day, and still live relatively disease-free well into ripe age. And there is actually a belief that the inclusion of wine may be the secret to how the French enjoy such great health. And there's been a lot of research that has attempted to prove whether or not that is the case. In the early part of this century, of the 2000s, there were a lot of studies done to find out what it is in wine, and I think particularly red wine, that makes it so beneficial for people who consume it on a regular basis, and of course in moderation. But what they found was that the antioxidants, mainly in resveratrol, which is something that we've learned in our In Vino Veritas episode, are great for cardiovascular health and help to reduce cholesterol. They also are anti-inflammatories and have been shown to be helpful in preventing obesity, cancer, and lowering the risk of diabetes. So, of course, everything in moderation, and doctors do exercise caution before they recommend adding alcohol to diets that don't already include it. But I'm always reminded that the benefits of food go far beyond their nutritional value. The social value of food and wine enjoyed with the right company, and sometimes the right company is just yourself, it's tremendous. When you're present to something that's so delicious, something with lots of complex flavors like you have in wine, and if you take it a step further to discover the nuances that are brought out in your wine by the food that you pair it with, you're doing something that's really good for your brain and for your heart. You're opening up to the experience of the moment. So in honor of the great vino, I want to share a few easy food ideas to help celebrate the versatility of this beverage and culinary ingredient. Things like garlic and white wine sauce with pine nuts that you can put on pasta or vegetables like broccoli, or a red wine marinara sauce, which is really very simple to make, and it just makes your pasta a little bit more exciting than ordinary. And even doing poached pears with Riesling, which is a very simple, elegant, and rather good for you dessert, or a dark chocolate port sauce that you can put over ice cream or bananas. So check out our website and our Facebook page to get preparation tips on these recipes and ideas. That's anorganicconversation.com or facebook.com/anorganicconversation. And as always, please drink responsibly and share plentifully. That's your holistic bite.
Thank you, Sita. That sounds wonderful. And in that regard, Frey Wine, it's always hard to find products that are made without any compromises. And the holistic bite is brought to you by the natural beauty company Ecobella. Here at An Organic Conversation, it's all about possibility, interconnectedness, and beauty. And when it comes to clean, natural, and organic skincare and intelligent cosmetics, it is really difficult to find products that are made without compromises there as well and are still affordable. That's why we use Ecobella. We love the company's mission. It's about saving and protecting the animals. Join us at ecobella.com. Check out the products and tell us what you think. That's ecobella.com. Thanks again, Sita. And you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And with us, Katrina Frey of Frey Vineyards, the first certified organic winery, guiding us through the world of organic and non-organic wine production. Katrina, we before the break, we were talking about organic growing. You touched on organic processing, the agents that are used there. There's an entire world of products that you hear about in the winemaking, such as blood meal and growing, gas in the bottles. What's the unseen world of winemaking? Can you describe that for a moment? Guide us through that.
Certainly, and I really don't claim to be an expert in this since I am an organic farmer in winemaking, but the use of blood meal in any kind of greenhouse and nursery production in conventional farming is widespread. It's prohibited for use in organic farming. So the blood meal would, for conventional grapes, would come in when those baby vines are first being grafted and started.
Can you explain what that is? Because I don't
know.
What is blood meal
and what is it for?
Helga, you can probably do as good a job as I.
I'm not sure. I think it's exactly what it sounds like, right? It's the ground. That's right.
Blood meal comes from slaughterhouses. It's, you know, often, I think it's usually beef. And it's dried, and it's a quick available source of nitrogen for a plant.
Yes.
And of course, the danger of it is the whole association with mad cow disease and antibiotics.
Yeah. Any kind of pathogen, really, from the mass slaughterhouses that is being brought to you in your vineyard, really, right?
Right. So, you know, I think that if you weren't a vegetarian, it is possible to imagine that there could be organic blood meal. I mean, that product is not on the market yet that I'm aware of. But
so organic wines don't use blood meal, you say?
It's a prohibited. Yes. No, it's prohibited,
right. Prohibited
material in all of organic agriculture. So you don't have to worry about that. The other way that where blood can come into winemaking, and again, this doesn't happen much anymore, but with white wines, there's a process right before bottling where you fine the wine. There can be a delicate haze in white wines that are suspended proteins in the wine, and so it makes it look cloudy rather than clear. And so a winemaker makes a slurry of wine with a fining agent and then puts it in the top of the barrel or tank, and it slowly drifts down, stripping the proteins with it, and then that clear wine is then siphoned off and bottled. And in medieval times, ox blood was often used as a fining agent, although very few wineries use blood anymore. But a more common fining agent are egg whites, and so vegans may object to their use in winemaking, even though you're not actually ingesting that. It's a processing aid. For us at Fry Vineyards, we use bentonite clay as a fining agent, and we don't fine our red wines, and most wineries don't fine their
And again, just to clarify
their red wines.
For our listeners, it's a practice that, you know, may be used, but is kind of an older traditional way of clarifying your wine that might not be used anymore. However, blood meal is very commonly used still as a soil amendment in non-organic production.
Correct.
What else does the average wine drinker may not know? That is out there.
Yeah, well, I think we had mentioned the yeast nutrients. That's very, very common in the wine industry. This sort of vitamin mix cocktail that come from not natural sources that are used to encourage a strong fermentation. And then, you know, just a whole host of preservatives like sulfur dioxide, but then things that change colors of wine or enhance the aromas of wine. And again, we're, you know, the consumer is really being misled by the fact that when you look at a bottle of wine, you get this feeling that it's just a natural product. Part of that is that there are no ingredient panels. So let's, you know,
yes,
urge our lawmakers to start labeling alcoholic beverages. It would be very good for the whole industry.
Yeah,
it
so would informative be a, for the consumer.
Yeah, it would be
my
such
goodness.
An eye-opener if the average person drinking a bottle of red wine a week does not know how this was produced and what's in it.
What's in it, yeah.
That's pretty
right.
amazing.
Wow. Well,
right.
so let's take a step.
And, you know, many of our small family wineries in Napa and Sonoma and Mendocino who maybe are not doing organic are not engaging in some of these practices, you know. So talk with your winemaker and try to find out. But, you know, in general, the larger the company, the larger the manipulations. And like I said before, 3/4 of all the wine sold in the United States is just made by these top 5 producers. So
yes,
a vast majority of the wine really is conventionally chemically made.
Well, we are almost out of time, Katrina, but do you feel that the organic wine industry finally is getting the respect it deserves, or do we still have ways to go?
I had this wonderful experience of going to the Mille Seine, the world's largest organic wine fair in France last year, and it was really exciting what's happening all over the world. I mean, France, there's just an explosion of interest in what they call natural wines there. And it's great that it's happening in France, you know, because they're, of course, have so many traditions.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long that winemakers have been using all of these things. So, you know, we still have connections with the age-old, very easy, really, process of fermenting. You know, as you know, pretty much anything starts fermenting if you just leave it alone. And again, just with high-quality organic fruit and a winemaker who encourages the fermentation to go in the direction that they want it to, we can come up with these lovely, living, natural, organic wines.
Yes. Well, may the Fry wine and any other certified organic wine out there and any grower who is looking at organic production methods deserve the respect, get the respect they deserve. I know you've been on this for many decades at this point, and thank you for your leadership and for your voice for Fry Vineyards and really the movement. I don't think people know in detail the dark side or the untold side of winemaking.
That's a whole other show.
So, yeah.
But,
thank you.
You know, let's just say for the entire wine industry, 2012 is looking to be a year to remember. We've just had perfect weather conditions, so we're all excited about harvest beginning and
wonderful,
and beautiful organic fruit coming in.
Well, good luck to you and good luck to Fry Vineyards, and thanks so much for joining us again today, Katrina. Pleasure always to have you. Wonderful show. Thank you so much. Thank you, Katrina.
Bye-bye. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producers, Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, Robert Costa. Today, Jen Lloyd. News services, Jen Lloyd. Underwriting production, The Ear, Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.